The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas. All persons having business before the Honorable Supreme Court of Texas are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the state of Texas and this honorable court.
Thank you. Be seated. This morning, the court has numerous cases consolidated into four oral arguments. And in the order in which they'll be heard, they are as follows. Hans Henning Fair versus Reading and Bates from Harris County. F.J. Brewerton and others versus Brent and Diane Dalrymple from Travis County, consolidated for oral argument. The City of Midland and others versus Milton O'Brien and others from Travis County. Owens Corning and others versus Carter and Carroll and Aday and Chandler and DeFord. Direct appeals from Travis County, all consolidated. And N. Ray Continental Airlines and Continental Express, an original mandamus proceeding, consolidated with N. Ray Legend Airlines, an original mandamus proceeding, and N. Ray City of Dallas, an original mandamus proceeding. In the first three arguments, the court has allotted 20 minutes for each side to present argument. The petitioner may reserve a portion of that, or appellant may reserve a portion of that time for rebuttal by so advising the marshal of the court. The court will then take a lunch recess, and at 1:45 we will reconvene for the final argument, in which we have allotted 25 minutes for each side to present argument. These arguments are being recorded by our clerk, and you may purchase a tape of the arguments for a nominal fee. The court is now ready to hear argument from petitioner in Hans Henning Steyer versus Reading and Bates.
May it please the court, Mr. Bob Green will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. Both sides agree that presented here is a narrow issue of whether or not 68-8B preempts a state court from hearing a state cause of action or a foreign cause of action with regard to a person who is an alien. This case is a particularly clean and uncluttered case or vehicle to hear that decision or to make that decision. Because in this case, the petitioner is seeking only state causes of action and Trinidad causes of action. We're not seeking Jones Act or maritime causes of action. It is also a particularly good case to decide the issue on because of the plaintiff's contacts with the state of Texas. Although Mr. Steyer is a German citizen and a resident of the state of the country of Brazil, he was hired out of Houston. He worked for 17 years for a Houston employer who responded. He was hurt, although he was hurt in Trinidad, the respondent's report to the Coast Guard indicated that the fault for that lies or emanates from the failures arising in Houston. He was hurt and treated by doctors in Houston. So the case is one in which the plaintiff's could survive a forum non-convenience argument and a choice of law argument, making it particularly a good case to decide the issue before the court. There can be little doubt that the relationship of the parties is centered in Houston, Texas. I'll briefly discuss the Camejo case out of, if I'm pronouncing that right, out of the Fifth Circuit, which I think is directly on point. I will then follow the outline of preemption analysis recognized by this court in Moore and Hyundai. First, Camejo, Fifth Circuit case, 1988. This case is right on point because in that case there were three causes of actions that were being claimed. One, Jones Act, one, general maritime law, and two, and three, Texas state law. Fifth Circuit dismissed the Jones Act and the General Maritime Law case under 688B. However, it did not dismiss the Texas State Court's claim. It held even if no federal admiralty claim remained, the district court could still retain jurisdiction over the state claims. The court then went through an analysis and finally dismissed the state court claims based upon foreign non-convenience. So that court was addressed with this same situation. Three different kinds of causes of action, or whether or not the state cause of action would be preempted by 688B, and it chose not to do it. The outline of analysis for preemption found in Moore and Hyundai starts with a presumption against preemption. This court stated in Moore that the lessons of Cipollone are that the preemption defense will be applied narrowly, that preemption language of the statute will be interpreted strictly, and that few state law damage claims will be preempted. In Hyundai, this court stated that the Supreme Court has mandated that the court are not to conclude that Congress legislated the ouster of state law in the absence of an unambiguous congressional mandate to that effect. The statute has to be strictly construed, it has to be clear and unambiguous. I'll now address the possibility of express preemption before going on to implied. The only possibility of express preemption under 688 comes in the language, no action under the Jones Act or under any other maritime law of the United States. Doesn't say any state law of Texas. Doesn't say any law of any foreign country. We've seen in other cases where the Congress has certainly had the ability and put in there a state common law. It chose not to do so in this case. General maritime law of the United States does not encompass state law. As you see in the Supreme Court case of Yamaha versus Calhoun, it defines general maritime law as a species of judge-made federal law. That court held that even though general maritime law might apply, the state of Pennsylvania could enforce its own wrongful death statute. The congressional record, or part of the congressional record, committee report that is Appendix B to the respondent's brief upon which they rely, has the following language. Since 1798, the federal government has recognized that the unique status of seamen and the special circumstances of their employment require additional protections not available to U.S. citizens generally. They're talking about maritime law, a special law of Jones Act, a special law of federal maritime law. They're not talking about the other law, the state law that is available to all the citizens. And that's what we're trying, that's the cause of action that we're trying to put forward here. That cause of action that is available to all the citizens, not the special law, the Jones Act, the liberal Jones Act and maritime law. That's what Congress's intent was to do, is to prevent the issues of that law, not state law.
If you had a maritime claim, you would not have a state law claim. Is that true?
Well, you could have a maritime, under Calhoun, you could have a maritime claim and a state law claim. If you don't have a maritime claim because of 688B, you still have a state law claim. With regard to implied preemption, there are two ways to have that, and that is whether or not Congress has occupied the field, and then whether or not there is a actual conflict. Certainly, Congress has not occupied the field here. Congress has retreated from the field. They have said that the Jones Act and maritime law do not apply to this class of person. They're not occupying the field. Therefore, their intent is not to protect that type of individual. Actual conflict, two ways for that to be, and that one is the impossibility to comply with both the federal law and the state law. That simply doesn't exist here. There's no way that you cannot comply with both. And the second is that the state law stands as an obstacle to the accomplishment and execution of the full purposes and objectives of Congress. Nothing in the statute reaches or suggests that it was a purpose of Congress to prevent state law from being applied. Nothing in the legislature history. There are two different interests involved. What Congress is clearly interested in is the misuse of this special federal law. The interest of this case is the interest of protecting the employer-employee relationship and a man hurt under those relationships. Those are different interests. They do not compete. I will reserve the rest, unless there are questions, I will reserve the rest of my rebuttal.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. James Smithner will present arguments from respondent.
May it please the court. The 1982 Congress passed Section 688B. The legislative history of the statute makes it perfectly clear that Congress was addressing three problems. One was the economic disadvantage to American companies engaged in the offshore drilling business because of the ability of foreign plaintiffs to come and sue in the United States. The second was forum shopping. The third was the scepter of American lawyers descending upon foreign venues after an accident that solicits cases. Those are the three issues. The principal issue I would submit is the economic disadvantage. 688B does not take Mr. Steyer out of the Jones Act. When you read the statute, it says, gentlemen in the position of Mr. Steyer have a Jones Act claim, provided they can carry the burden of proving they have no relief in their home country or the country of the accident. My learned opponent seeks to say that 688B all of a sudden made Mr. Steyer no longer a senior. A man is essentially the chief engineer aboard a vessel.
He is an employee, am I correct?
He is an employee employed aboard a vessel.
And this is not a third party injured by an accident?
No. No, Your Honor. He is an employee injured by the allegation, by the acts of his employer, which under state law would put him in workman's comp. There's a problem here because the Jones Act and maritime law has always had a separate body of law to deal with that. The Jones Act, in effect, is, you could call it the maritime workman's comp statute. If he comes out of the Jones Act, he doesn't have workman's comp. That's a separate issue. But the fact is, he doesn't come out of the Jones Act. He doesn't stop being a seaman. Chief engineer is the third highest officer on a vessel. There's no doubt that he's a seaman. And they fled that in their initial cause of action before the Jones Act cases were set aside.
Would this gentleman have had a cause of action in Texas prior to the Jones Act?
No, Your Honor, because since about 1902, where they seek to create a Texas, quote, Texas cause of action and bring it into this court of the state of Texas. So he's got an employment contract that has a clause that says it should be governed by and interpreted by Texas law. And as a part of that employment contract is a duty to provide a safe workplace. While I submit that that's a negligence duty anyway, even under Texas law, but since 1902, duty to provide a safe place to work has been recognized as a maritime tort. And I'm referring to Norris, the law of seamen, 4th edition, section 30.
And so if the general maritime law in federal court applied, it preempted state claims?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about that. And so his argument that there's a Texas cause of action because of the violation of the duty to safe place to work jumps right back into the maritime law, even if you ignore the Jones Act.
And so maritime excludes simply because maritime is the only law that it could apply, even if it doesn't apply.
I'm with you all the way to even if it doesn't apply.
Well, the argument is that the Jones Act does not cover this gentleman because it excludes this gentleman. And the argument is that it applies to him even to the point of excluding him.
The Jones Act is only one portion of maritime law. All right? If we go back, seamen from time of Rome had special status and special laws that governed it, and it moved forward. The problem with it was somewhat similar to the shoreside development. The seamen were entitled initially only to maintenance and cure, essentially a comp type benefit. They were not entitled to indemnity or compensatory damages. That is in the old law, all the way up until about 1905, somewhere in there. Then the law, the maritime law, developed that they could have a negligence cause of action, an unseaworthiness cause of action, which would entitle them to compensatory damages. There is flip-flopping back between Congress and the courts over what the defenses were, and then finally, in I think it was 1920, the original Jones Act came in, which struck down the fellow servant defense and several other defenses, and basically gave seamen a unseaworthiness claim in which they didn't have to prove lack of due care, I think.
But Mr. Green's argument is, under the Camejo or Camejo case, that the Fifth Circuit acknowledged that there were state law claims independent of Maritime and Jones Act. And you're arguing there is no such thing as a state law claim independent of Maritime and Jones Act.
If one reads Camejo, which is essentially a forum non-convenient case, not essentially, it is a forum non-convenient case, the opinion that it refers to, the statement is, even if there were, the court made no finding that there were. The case does not stand for the proposition that there are. Now, admittedly, there are in certain circumstances, not in this circumstance, there can be non-maritime claims or state court claims. I can't think of one offhand, but I can't tell you that that's absolutely impossible. But this particular scene, this particular action, you've got a distinct congressional statute that says, and the express purpose of this, we do not want our courts burdened with these cases, our corporations put at an economic disadvantage in competing. We don't want that. Now, they didn't take the foreign seamen and say, you're out of here. They said, look, if you can't get relief at home, we'll hear you. But you must exhaust your rights at home.
You said they've said that for each state in this country as opposed to the federal courts.
They said that for every court in this country. The maritime law, the preemption of the maritime law under the United States Constitution, puts it over in its field. Over any law of any state.
I want to ask you about the claims based on Trinidad's law.
Yes, ma'am.
I understand what you're saying about the history of the statute, but if you look at the statute itself, where in the textual statute does it say that you cannot bring the claims under Trinidad law in state court?
It does not specifically say you can't bring the claim, your foreign law claim, in state court. Examine the legislative history, however, they're saying one of the issues they were directly addressing.
There seems to be some dissonance between the history of the act and what Congress thought it was doing and what they actually said in the statute. Would you agree with me on that point?
Well, I would agree with you that there's no specific statement in here. But I think when you read the statute, when you read 68B as a whole, it's saying that you should proceed at home. You should take your remedies at home or in the place of the action if you have it.
But it's talking about choice of law, not choice of form.
Well, Your Honor, I think the only way they get into the U.S. courts is, or to the Court of Texas, is the Open Forum Act, and I think this statute overrides the Open Forum Act. Maritime and local law in general overrides the Open Forum Act. you go, you then come into Texas law. Texas law encompasses the maritime law. The maritime law is part of Texas law insofar as dealing with seamen, and the maritime law clearly says you shouldn't be. But as a practical purpose, I think to bring the foreign law claim here defeats the intent of the statute, because you now again have our courts burdened with these cases. They have to apply foreign law, which, and foreign, presumably foreign measure of damages. What you've done, if you allow them to come with their foreign law claim to the state of Texas, you burden the courts of the state of Texas. You have not only a straight, you know, negligence action, you've got a court trying to interpret the law of Romania or Trinidad.
Well, those may be reasons why Texas courts wouldn't accept the case under form non-convenience. But again, I'm having trouble seeing where in the text of the statute deals with courts and forums as opposed to choice of law.
Well, my only answer to you, Your Honor, is if you take the statute as a whole, and particularly the congressional intent, the expressed congressional intent, it's saying that they shouldn't be here. And I think it's a secondary argument. It's what you do now is you bring all these cases back in, you create all the problems they tried to get rid of, and the Texas courts have to deal with the form non-convenience motion in every one of these cases. And then if they maintain it after that, they've got to deal with foreign law. It's the camel's nose under the tent, if you will, because then you're going to get arguments eventually down the line, well, the measure of damages shouldn't be 3 drachma or shekels or whatever, maybe Deutschmark. It should be our measure of damages.
What is the measure of damages in Trinidad?
John, I don't know what the measure of damages is in Trinidad, and the statute specifically, the history of the statute is that that's where they live, that's where they had their cause of action, that's the measure of damages that should be. I submit it's not relevant as to whether the quantum of damages they could get in the foreign forum is the same as the quantum of damages in the United States. I can only presume it's not, because as you go through the legislative history, what they're saying is everybody's coming here because they knew our measure of damages was much higher. And that's going to be throughout most of the world, because we don't have a social structure of medical, et cetera, which the rest of the world has. And so our measure of damage is always going to be different. In Germany, you get lifetime health care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, through your social system. So your measure of damages and compensation in the German court is very small.
If I understand your argument correctly, then you're saying that in addition to the statute preempting the underlying substantive claim, there's also a preemption procedurally of the Texas Open Forum Act.
That's correct.
Would you please apply the preemption analysis to the procedural preemption argument?
The statute is intended. Clear express intent of Congress.
So you're claiming express preemption?
I'm claiming, yes, express preemption given the legislative history, legislative background of this statute.
I don't follow you, though, because you argue that these cases will burden Texas courts, but that's not usually the concern of the Congress too much, and in any event, it's not one of the three problems that you said was being addressed. Why wouldn't it ease economic disadvantage to American drillers to be sued in American courts under Trinidad law rather than Trinidad courts under Trinidad law? Why wouldn't they rather be home?
Because you have an American court now applying foreign law, right? And you have yourself being subjected to the argument that the foreign measure of damages shouldn't apply, either because it's against the public policy of the state of Texas to deny people these things.
If the Texas court really did apply Trinidad law, the defendant might be perfectly happy here, but he's afraid that they won't.
I think history justifies that fear, Your Honor.
Can I ask a question, please?
Sure.
Is your position is that Mr. Steer is not precluded by 688B1 to bring a Jones Act case? Or was your motion for summary judgment based on exactly the opposite, that it did preclude him? And then secondly, that even if precluded, pursuing under either Jones or other maritime law, the preemption theory causes those acts to basically be a preemptive umbrella over any other claim, even if it doesn't apply.
The motion is that 688B precludes him from bringing an action under the Jones Act or general maritime law.
Sure.
Now, as to actions other than that, there are no causes of action he has that fall outside the general maritime law. Everything comes under the general maritime law. You have to understand, the Jones Act is this much of general maritime law. So if you take the Jones Act out of the picture, he can't sue under the Jones Act. That's why Congress said under the Jones Act or general maritime law. What's his cause of action outside the general maritime law? The only one the plaintiffs have been able to come up with is this argument that they've got a cause of action based upon the contract of employment for failure to provide a safe place to work. And failure to provide a safe place to work has been a maritime cause of action since at least 1902, well before the Jones Act. So he has no common law, non-maritime cause of action.
Unless it's a Texas state cause of action for negligence.
And he couldn't
or
have,
a Trinidad claim.
He couldn't have a Texas state cause of action for negligence, failure to provide a safe place to work, because that is and always has been a maritime claim under the general maritime law of the United States. And 688B says he can't bring it. That's how, you know, how it progresses.
But if the Congress wanted to, it could say, well, we don't restrict him to his maritime claims anymore. We'll have to file whatever claim he can file under whatever jurisdiction's law he can invoke.
I don't believe they could, Your Honor. I think that would be an unconstitutional pronouncement by Congress.
Why is that?
Because under the Constitution, the Admiralty law is the province of the federal government.
But Congress is the federal government.
But the Congress is restrained by the Constitution.
Sometimes.
Should be constrained by the Constitution.
Any questions? Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
If we assume for the moment that this accident had happened in a warehouse in Trinidad rather than on a boat, I think it's clear that Mr. Steer would have a cause of action. The fact, traditionally, that it happened on a boat gives him more benefits, because then he can sue under the Jones Act and he can sue under general maritime law. What 688B does, and all it does, is takes away that additional benefit. He still can sue under the state of Texas laws as just an ordinary citizen, as shown in the committee report. With regard to the procedural question.
Now, let me understand. But for 688, but for that section.
Yes, Your Honor.
You say he could sue on a state claim and it wouldn't be preempted by maritime law.
No, if 688B did not exist and the prior common law, which is codified, did not exist, then he had had an argument that he would be a Jones Act seaman. He could sue under Jones Act and maritime law.
Could not sue under state law.
If he can sue under Jones Act, you're correct. That would free him. I have no problem with that. Texas has no general maritime law. We've seen that as a term of art, which means federal law. Any law, general maritime law that Texas would apply would be federal law. With regard to procedural analysis, this statute does not even prevent a federal court from hearing a state claim, as in Comegia. The federal court heard a state claim despite 688B applying to knock out the Jones Act and applying to knock out the general maritime law. Unless there are other questions, that's all I have.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. Okay. That concludes the argument in the first clause. The court will now take a brief recess.
All right.